We come to Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 1 to verse 14. In these recent days, we have been looking at passages, selected passages in the Old Testament that clearly teaches us the gospel, the way of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Kebelakangan ini kita sedang mempelajari nas-nas Alkitab dalam Perjanjian Lama yang mengajar mengenai cara keselamatan melalui juru selamat kita. Hari ini kita sampai ke Ezekiel pasal ke-16 ayat ke-1 sampai 14. Now let us remember a little of the background. Israel was supposed to be a different nation from all others around them. Why? The reason was because Israel was chosen out of all nations in the world to be specially God's people. They were given His law. They had close communion with God through that system of animal sacrifices. They received blessing from God. Just think of it. God provided for them. God protected them. God guided them. God blessed them with all their needs. God gave them promises and He had bound Himself to them. No nation in the world enjoyed such privilege. And that nation, therefore, was obligated to be faithful to God. But Israel did not remain faithful to God. Bangsa Israel itu lain daripada bangsa-bangsa yang berada pada masa itu. Tuhan sudah memilih bangsa itu sebagai bangsa miliknya yang istimewa. Segala berkat diberikan kepada mereka. Mereka seharusnya bertindak lain daripada bangsa-bangsa yang lain. Mereka seharusnya setia kepada Tuhan mereka. Tetapi mereka tidak setia kepada Tuhan. How did Israel go astray? They began to worship idols of the surrounding nations together with worshipping Jehovah. They began to commit immorality in the name of religion. They behaved worse than pagans. And of course, the whole nation had gone astray like that. And this was represented by the capital, the city of Jerusalem. And in the passage that we have today, God's word was addressed to Jerusalem. Since Jerusalem was the capital, we can take it that what was addressed to Jerusalem was meant for the whole nation. Kata-kata Tuhan ditujukan kepada Yerusalem, kerana Yerusalem sebenarnya ibu kota kepada seluruh negara. Negara itu sudah terpesong dari jalan Tuhan. Mereka menyembah berhala seperti bangsa-bangsa lain sambil mereka menyembah juga Yehovah. Dan mereka juga melakukan yang tak senonoh dan kesemua yang dilakukan mereka itu seperti orang-orang kafir. Mereka tidak beda daripada orang-orang kafir pada masa itu. Now, this situation called for drastic action and God sent Ezekiel, the prophet, to turn them back to God. One of the ways God tried to turn the people back to Him was to show to them what they were in the past and what God had done to them and what they became. In the time of King David and especially in the reign of King Solomon, the nation rose to the height of his glory and every nation around, far and near, heard good things about Israel. Many came willingly without compulsion to pay tribute to that nation. The nation was at the peak of its glory, and everyone knew that this was because their God was blessing them. Ada satu ketika, negara itu menjadi sungguh masyhur dan diberkati Tuhan. Semasa kerajaan Daud dan Solomon, kesemua negara pada masa itu mengenali negara Israel sebagai bangsa yang sungguh diberkati Tuhan. And you see now that this nation was doing wrong by going astray. And in addressing the problems of the nation, God's word is preserved for us today in order to show to us that the same principles apply. If not for God's mercy upon us, none of us would be where we are today. All Christians can look back upon their lives and say, we were once like that. God did something definite to us, and we are now like this. And so let us consider what this passage has to say concerning what we were like before we were Christians. Then we consider what God did to us. Then we consider what we are like now. Kita seharusnya perhatikan apa keadaan kita sebelum menjadi Kristian, apa yang sudah diperbuat Tuhan terhadap kita, dan apa sudah menjadi kepada kita sekarang sebagai anak Tuhan. So first of all, let us consider what we were like, verse 3 to verse 5. Now, we are compared to a newborn baby who is unwanted. A newborn baby who is unwanted possesses characteristics that are very pitiable and are very similar to unconverted people. Kita dibandingkan dengan seorang bayi yang baru dilahirkan dan tidak disayangi, tidak dikehendaki orang. Itu satu gambaran orang yang belum menjadi Christian. There are three things that we can note about this newborn baby that is unwanted by everyone, which are similar to people who are not yet Christians. Firstly, there was nothing lovely in us. There was nothing in our ancestry that should make us worthy to be adopted or to be accepted by anyone. The nation of Israel was told, look, you are like people who were born in Canaan. Look, your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. Now, was that true? Actually, it wasn't true literally, but it was true spiritually speaking. Abraham was from Samaria. He was called by God and he obeyed. Abraham came to Canaan, but he did not possess the land yet. God made a promise to Abraham that his descendants will be blessed by him, that they will possess the land of Canaan as their own, and they will become a blessing to many nations. Tuhan sudah pun memanggil Abraham dari Samaria. Abraham menuruti panggilan Tuhan. Tuhan pun membuat janji dengan dia, keturunannya akan memiliki tanah Kanaan itu. Dan keturunannya akan menjadi berkat kepada kesemua bangsa dalam dunia. But before that happened, his descendants must go down to Egypt. And there they will multiply. And sure enough, as they multiplied, they were oppressed by the people there. And soon God raised up Moses to bring them out of Egypt to go to the promised land. Now that corresponded with the time when the people in Canaan had gone so grossly sinful. God had been patient with the people of Canaan, but they have gone worse and worse and worse, and some of the worst sins ever committed were sin among them. They have been like that for a long time. Their sin cry out for judgment from God. Jadi keturunan Abraham pergi ke Mesir dan mereka bertumbuh di sana menjadi semakin banyak. Tetapi di sana mereka diperhambakan dan dianiayai. Masanya tiba di mana mereka diselamatkan. Musa dibangkitkan Tuhan untuk menjadi pemimpin mereka. Mereka dibawa keluar dari Mesir dan menuju ke tanah Kanan yang dijanjikan Tuhan. Pada masa itu, tanah Kanan itu terdapat banyak bangsa-bangsa yang kafir, yang menyembah berhala dan membuat segala-gala yang tak senonoh, sehinggalah dosa-dosa mereka perlu dihukum Tuhan. Sudah lama Tuhan bersabar dengan mereka, tetapi sudah tiba masanya di mana mereka dihukum. And it was at that time that God was going to fulfill the promise of the land to Abraham's descendant. So as the descendants of Abraham entered the promised land, they had to kill all those Canaanites, because those Canaanites have become set aside. They have been set aside to be destroyed. They were no more fit to live. And so what happened was that the Israelites went in and destroyed the Canaanites. But some of them escaped. Some of them were left to continue on in the land of Canaan. The nation of Israel did not truly follow God's instruction. Now, many of them continue on in the land of Canaan as a separated people, a people different from the Israelites. So the Israelites multiplied in the land of Canaan, but they knew that here and there were pockets of people. The Amorites and the Hittites were still around. So when Ezekiel made use of this illustration, that you are like people who have grown in Canaan. Your father was an Amorite, your mother was a Hittite. God was trying to say to them that your behavior is no different from this Canaanite pagan people. Your behavior is just like them. You are like people who have been born here, and your father is an Amorite, your mother is a Hittite, when actually they were descendants of Abraham who had been called from Sumeria. They had no connection with the Amorite and the Hittite. But it is by way of speaking. It is a way of speaking to show to them how bad they had become. They have gone so far astray that they were very much like the Amorites and the Hittites. Jadi ini hanya gambaran saja, ini bahasa kiasan. Orang Israel bukan keturunan bangsa-bangsa yang terdapat di Kanaan itu. Tapi cara hidup mereka sekarang, kelakuan mereka, perangai mereka, semacam orang-orang kafir yang berada di Kanaan. Itu yang dimaksudkan oleh Ezekiel di sini. Bukannya benar-benar mereka keturunan orang Kanaan. Bukan benar-benar bapa mereka orang Amori. Bukan benar-benar ibu mereka orang Heti. Tetapi mereka semacam orang-orang kafir seperti itu. Now what happened is this. Now, this passage is meant to show to us that if we consider our unconverted state, we are like this baby that is unwanted. The baby is one which has nothing good about his ancestry. He is not born from royal blood. He's not of noble birth. He's not from a rich background. He's not from any background that should make us desire this baby. And the reason why we are compared to a baby which has nothing good about our background to make God accept us is because we truly are like that. We are actually descended from Adam, who had fallen from God's grace. We are guilty because Adam was our representative head. And therefore, when he sinned against God, we sin in him. His guilt is also our guilt. And furthermore, his sinful nature has been passed down to us such that if we were to look at ourselves from God's point of view, we come to realize that we possess a sinful nature. We are dirty, we are filthy, and we are inclined towards evil. Now just think of it. You are guilty already because of your sin. And your sinful nature inclined you in the direction of sin. And all that you have done thus far shows that you are guilty before God. You are guilty and filthy. There's nothing really pleasing about you. There's nothing in your background and your upbringing that should cause God to want to accept you. Kita disamakan dengan seorang bayi yang latar belakangnya kurang baik, yang tiada sesuatu pun dari keturunannya yang menyebabkan Tuhan inginkannya. Jadi kita keturunan Adam, kita bersalah apabila Adam bersalah terhadap Tuhan kerana dia wakil kepada seluruh manusia. Dan bila dia terjatuh, dia berdosa, kita berdosa sama-sama dengan dia. Dan kita pun sudah pun menerima sifat yang berdosa yang diperturunkan dari Adam. Dan oleh itu, kita sentiasa ingin melakukan yang berdosa. Keadaan kita semacam itu. Kita sungguh hodoh. Kita sungguh kotor. Tiada sesuatu di latar belakang kita yang mungkin menyebabkan kita diingini Tuhan. Disayanginya. Tiada. Sebelum kita menjadi Kristian, kita sebenarnya semacam itu. Then secondly, our condition is like that baby which is weak and helpless from the beginning of its life. Now compared to a baby that is born, when it is born, the umbilical cord has to be tied up and then cut. Now the boys and girls might need a bit of explanation here. Now when the baby is formed in the mother's womb, the baby continues to grow there. It is alive and growing. How does it grow? It does not grow by taking food through its mouth. It grows by taking food through the blood of the mother that is passed through the baby. Now, how does that happen? It happens like this. The baby has a cord like a hose from the navel, from where our navel is, and connected to a mass of flesh which grows when the baby is formed in the mother's womb. That flesh or the placenta is attached to the wall of the womb so that the blood of the mother passes through the placenta and through that umbilical cord, through that tube, to the baby. And so in that way, the blood keeps flowing through the mother's body and to that baby. And in that way, the baby gets the food through the blood of the mother and grows. But when the baby is born, the umbilical cord is still attached to that placenta which is expelled together with the baby. So the baby and the placenta comes out. Now the placenta is full of blood vessels, so blood will be flowing everywhere. And so what needs to be done is that the cord has to be tied and then cut. Okay? Then after some time, the cord that is left will dry up and drop off, leaving the mark which is your navel. Okay? Now that has to be done. Now the baby cannot do that himself. He's helpless. And because he's in such a situation, you discover blood is just oozing out, flowing away. Okay? And he's dirty. He's in such a miserable state. He's a pitiful sight. Kita bayangkan seorang bayi yang baru saja dilahirkan. Pusatnya belum diikat dan dipotong. Dia dalam keadaan lemah dan tak dapat menolong diri sendirinya. Dia kotor. Darah beradah di mana-mana saja. Darah mengalir. Dia berkelumuran darah di seluruh badannya. Keadaan itu seperti keadaan seorang yang belum berubah, belum diselamatkan. Kata kamu, tidak, saya kuat. Mana saya lemah? Tapi dari segi rohani, kamu lemah dan kamu kotor. Kamu kotor dan tidak dapat membuat apa-apa mengenai kotoran itu. Jadi ada dua perkara di sini. Kamu disamakan dengan bayi itu. Sejak dilahirkan, kamu sudah pun berdosa. Kamu sudah kotor. Kamu berlumuran darah. Dan kedua, kamu tidak berupaya untuk menukar diri sendiri. Untuk memperbaiki keadaan diri sendiri. So these two things need to be noted when we are compared to a baby like that. We are filthy with blood all over us. we are in such a miserable situation, in need of help, and we secondly are unable to help ourselves. We are really helpless. You may say, but I'm strong, I'm not like that baby, so weak. But what we are saying is, from the spiritual point of view, you are like that. You inherited a sinful nature and you can't extract the sin out of you. And the sin is just everywhere around you, as though the blood of the baby is splashed everywhere. So the whole of you is affected by sin. You can say, but I will decide to change over a new leaf, I will become better. But you are unable to, left to yourself. Before you became a Christian, before God did something to you, try as you like, you discover that you are unable to will that which is pleasing to God. The reason is because the whole of yourself is affected by sin. The sinful nature is in you. It is part of you. You can't possibly extract sin out of you. But your sinful nature causes you to just want to sin. So itu keadaan kita. Ketiga, kita semacam bayi yang dibiarkan di ladang tanpa dihiraukan orang. Seorang bayi semacam itu yang sudah dibuang. Lihat, perhatikan Alkitab itu, kita dibuang. Bukannya diletakkan dengan baik. Kita dibuang ke dalam ladang di mana tiada orang pun yang menjaga kita. Bayi itu sudah tentu akan mati. We are compared to that baby that's thrown away. And the word of God says that we are thrown away, not just placed nicely somewhere. And when we are thrown away into the bushes, into the field, we are sure to die. Sooner or later, we will die of hunger. And if we don't die of hunger, the mosquitoes will come and bite us. The rats and the other animals will come and eat us. The wolves and the tigers will come and bite us and take us away, and tear us to pieces, and we will die. And if we do not die of hunger, if we do not die because we are bitten by all these creatures, soon we will die of exposure. We are exposed to the cold. And that is terrible. And we are exposed to the blood flow and everything. And there's nothing to shelter us. The germs will attack and we soon will be rotting away. You discover that a baby left like that is sure to die. Now, in what way is it similar to our situation? It is similar in that we are uncared for, unloved by anyone, and we are sure to die. Our destiny is sealed unless God does something to us. Left to ourselves, we are sure to die. We are currently without love. But you say, my parents love me since I was born. I have brothers and sisters, we love one another. But again, please remember, we are not talking in a physical sense. We are talking about the spiritual sense. Left to yourselves, you are in such a miserable situation and you need help, but you cannot help yourself and others cannot help you because they are in a similar situation. They have inherited their parents' sins as well and they are helpless as well. They are in need of help as well. So left to yourself, what will happen is that sin will have control over you. And you will get worse and worse. And the time will come when you will die. When we are young, when we are doing well, we think we are in control of our lives. Perhaps you are thinking like this now. Now be very careful. You are not in control of your life. Those who have been stricken by cancer or something like that, they are desperate. Whatever they do, they cannot cure themselves. They are just desperate for somebody, something that can help them get this matter cleared. You see now, when we approach old age, we discover our body begin to change. When we were younger, we spray all everything, look, make ourselves nice, make up, you see. We don't want to smell, and all those young men put deodorant around them, you see. Ladies will sprinkle some perfume on them. We smell nice, we look good. But for how long can you keep yourself like that? You're growing older, and soon you grow weaker. And as you get more and more wrinkled and weaker, you come to realize that you are not in control of your life. You do not know when you are going to die, but die you certainly will. Your life is actually in God's hand, not in your hand. And from the spiritual point of view, when you die, you will have to face with God's judgment. And you will have to answer for all your sins against God. And God will not accept you. If you remain in that state, you will need to be punished by God and separated from Him forever. When separated from Him, you don't have the presence of God. Now, God is light. God is love. See? And when you don't have God, you don't have light. You don't have love. You will be in utter misery for the rest of your life in eternity. It's a terrible destiny here that is waiting for you. Jadi bagi seseorang yang belum terselamat, dia semacam bayi itu. Nasibnya sudah ditentukan kalau Tuhan tidak campur tangan. Sudah tentu ia akan mati. Dia akan mati dalam kelaparannya, dia akan mati dimakan binatang, dia akan mati kerana terdedah kepada cuaca yang buruk. Dan bila dia mati nanti, dia tiada harapan. Seorang yang belum terselamat semacam itu. Kehidupan kita bukan dalam tangan kita. Satu hari nanti kita akan mati. Bila kita mati nanti kita terkena ketemu dengan Tuhan kita. Kita akan dihakimkannya. Kita akan dipisahkan dari Tuhan yang sebenarnya kasih, sebenarnya terang. Kalau tiada Tuhan, maka tiada kasih, tiada terang. Kita berada di neraka untuk selama-lamanya. Itu yang akan terjadi kepada kita sebelum kita terselamat. So a person who is not saved is like the baby in these three ways. At least, firstly, there is nothing good about our background that should make us be accepted by God. We are simply not lovely. There is nothing of any worth in us. Secondly, we are in a weak and helpless position in which we are unable to do anything about. We really are like a drowning person. Consider a person who is drowning. He's shouting for help. You say, help yourself, you know. But he's unable to help himself because he's drowning. Otherwise, he wouldn't be shouting for help. You see? So a drowning person cannot save himself. We are in that situation. And thirdly, our destiny is certain unless God intervenes. We have an ugly destiny. We have a miserable fate left to us. Our destiny is certain. Certainly, we will die without God. We will not have God on our side. That will be the situation. Without warmth, without love, without light, we will be in misery forever. So you see now that the person who is not converted is really a miserable person without hope. See? Now the message of salvation must always include this understanding of man. Kabar mengenai keselamatan seharusnya merangkumi keadaan manusia yang sebenarnya. Kita semacam bayi yang baru dilahirkan yang tak dikehendaki orang. Kita dalam keadaan seteruk itu. We are actually people who do not deserve salvation. And we cannot save ourselves. And we cannot determine our destiny. And we know that our destiny is certain. We will die. We will face spiritual darkness and damnation. So that is why we need to be saved. So that is what we were before we were converted. Itulah apa kita, keadaan kita sebelum kita terselamat. Sekarang kita bincang pula bahagian kedua, apa yang Tuhan sudah jadikan. We consider next what God has done in verse 6 to verse 8. And again, we can note three things that God has done. He took the initiative to come to us. Verse 6. He took the initiative to show us mercy. Now, when the Bible says God passes by, it is not an accidental passing by. Unlike human beings, sometimes we pass by someone, we say, we so happen to pass by. And we saw the person in need of help. But in the case of God, it is not an accidental passing by. The reason is because God is all-knowing. He knows everything that happened. So when Adam sinned, for example, God came to them. And Adam heard them, heard him walking in the cool of the day. And he was afraid and ran. God came and asked, Adam, where are you? It wasn't because God did not know where Adam was. It was intended to stir up a sense of his guilt and his shame. It was in order to tell Adam, you cannot run away from me. Come now and face me because of what you have done. So when God passes by us in our need, it is not accidental. He chose to pass by. He could have gone elsewhere. He could have gone to other people. But why did he come to us? It reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ. While on earth, he had many followers. There were thousands of people. And yet he passed by near a tree. And then he looked up and he knew the person by name. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I'm going home with you for tea. And then he went on to say, salvation has come to your house. Okay? Now the Lord Jesus Christ has placed his love on Zacchaeus even before he was born. Even before Zacchaeus began seeking him. The Lord was seeking him actually. If the Lord had passed by and gone to others, Zacchaeus would have not been saved. He wouldn't have been saved. But when the Lord came by, he deliberately turned in the direction of Zacchaeus and called him. So when God saves us, it is by his initiative he showed his mercy to us. Bila Tuhan melewati kita, Tuhan melalui kita, dia menyelamatkan kita, bukan kerana dia kebetulan melalui di sana, bukan kerana dia kebetulan melewati sana. Sebenarnya dia sengaja datang untuk menunjukkan kasih karunia-Nya kepada kita. Belas kasihan-Nya ditunjukkan kepada kita. Seperti juga Yesus memanggil Zacchaeus dari atas pokok itu. Yesus Kristus mungkin ke mencari orang lain, mungkin ke tempat lain, mengapa mesti melewati tempat itu. Dan tahu pula siapa nama orang itu. Zacchaeus, dia suruh dia turun dan memberitahunya keselamatan hari ini sudah sampai ke rumahnya. Jadi bila kita dipanggil Tuhan, itu adalah kerana belas kasihan-Nya. Dia yang mencari kita, bukan kita yang mencari dia. Dia yang menunjukkan belas kasihan kepada kita. So that is something we must take note of. Then secondly, we know that we are told, God said to the baby, leave. And it's repeated, God said to the baby, leave. And that baby lived and began to grow like a plant. And that is significant. The emphasis there is on God speaking. And that is precisely the emphasis we find in the Bible. God wills people to be saved, and they certainly will be saved. But what is the means by which God saves them? He uses His Word. His Word comes to us. We hear His Word. When we hear His Word, the Spirit of God applies it effectually to us so that we are saved. That is how we are saved. Without the hearing of the Word of God, you will never be saved. That is why in Romans 10 verse 17 we are told, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is why Christians need to proclaim the Word of God. That's why if you want to be saved, you have to hear the Word of God. See, God is all-powerful. He can save anyone by any other methods. But He has chosen the hearing of God's Word as the method by which you are to be saved. Kedua, ialah cara Tuhan menyelamatkan bayi itu. Tuhan menyuruh dia hidup. Dia kata sesuatu. Dia suruh dia hidup. Dengan firman-Nya, dia hidup. Begitu juga dengan kita. Tuhan memang berkehendakkan kita terselamat. Kehendak Tuhan tak dapat dihalangi. Bila dia kehendaki seseorang itu hidup, dia akan hidup. Tetapi apakah cara yang digunakan Tuhan supaya kita dapat kehidupan baru itu? Dia menggunakan firman-Nya. Firman-Nya seharusnya didengar orang. Kalau tidak, mereka tidak akan terselamat. Sekiranya kamu ingin diselamatkan, kamu seharusnya mendengar firman-Nya. Keselamatan itu, firman itu datang melalui pendengaran. Pendengaran itu melalui firman Tuhan. Jadi kita seharusnya sadar bahwa firman Tuhan itu dipergunakan Tuhan untuk memberi keselamatan kepada mereka yang perlu diselamatkan. We were saved by the incorruptible word of God. God's word became a living word to us. Truly, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then thirdly, we take note that God continues to care for us and transform us so that we mature in the faith and become fruitful and useful. In verse 7 to verse 8, the picture of a plant is used. Once the baby has been taken care of, you see, the baby continues to be cared for by God. God did not just take the baby, cut the umbilical cord, clean the baby, wrap him up, and say, "That's all that I'm going to do for you," and leaves us and goes away. No, God does not do that. Instead, He continues to care for us. Put another way, He takes the baby home and makes the baby His own. He cares for the baby daily, ensuring that the baby has sufficient to eat and the baby grows and being taken care of. And the growth of that baby is compared to that of a plant. Imagine someone planting a fruit tree, and he sees that fruit tree growing, and soon you see it grows. And you discover that flowers come, soon the fruits are formed. Phew, whoever plants that tree must be very happy to see it growing so well, so fruitful, healthy, fresh. Okay. Now, to see a Christian developing in faith, growing in maturity, growing in understanding, growing in usefulness, that is a very pleasing thing to see. And you discover here is the picture of a person being cared for by God until he grows to maturity and usefulness. God is like that to His people. He does not just save us and leave us unto ourselves. Perkara ketiga yang dilakukan Tuhan ialah Dia memelihara kita dalam iman seperti suatu pohon yang bertumbuh dengan baik. Semakin dia bertumbuh, dia semakin segar dan semakin berbuah. Dan begitu juga seorang yang sudah diberikan iman, iman itu akan dipeliharakan sehinggalah imannya kuat dan dia menjadi dewasa dalam imannya dan dia menjadi berguna dalam pelayanan Tuhan. Jadi itu sesuatu yang menggembirakan. Tuhan membuat sebegitu kepada sesiapa yang terselamat. Dia bukan sahaja menyelamatkan kita dan membiarkan kita selepas itu. Dia seterusnya memeliharakan iman kita sampailah kita dewasa dan berguna dalam pelayanannya. So you see now what great things God has done for us. If not for God intervening out in our lives, none of us will be where we are today. So let us now talk about the third part, what we are today. Sekiranya Tuhan tidak campur tangan dan melakukan sesuatu dalam kehidupan kita, teruk sekali keadaan kita. Nasib kita sememangnya buruk. Tetapi Tuhan sudah campur tangan dalam kehidupan kita dan sekarang kita sudah terselamat, kita dijagainya dengan baik sehinggalah kita dewasa dan apa berhasil dalam pelayanan kita. Dan kita cuba lihat pula keadaan kita sekarang sebagai orang Kristian. Now consider ourselves as Christians today. Again, we want to draw out three things to note. Three main things. Firstly, we have been redeemed. You see, we are told that we are actually, in verse 9, we are told that we were washed in water. If you have physical dirt like that, the baby which coated with blood all over, dirt all over, you need plentiful water to make yourself clean. See? But we are talking about our spiritual condition, our inner sin. Now that can be made clean by only the blood of Christ that flowed. When Christ died on the cross, His blood was shed in order for the cleansing of our sins. He paid the price of our sins against God so that we do not have to pay that price. God should punish us because of our sins. But Christ took that punishment. We were under bondage to Satan. Sin was our master. And he was a cruel master. We were often oppressed by him and in misery under that cruel master called sin. But you see, the blood of Jesus Christ makes us clean. The blood of Jesus Christ was the heavy price paid in order to set us free from the power of sin. That is why we are told we are bought by that the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are no more our own. We belong to God. And we become free from the power of sin. He's no more our master, but God is our master. We are really free. We are really free. Free from the power of sin. So we have been washed clean. We have been atoned or made one with God through the blood of Christ. We are free from that tyrant who had controlled our lives before. Jadi, apa yang sudah berlaku kepada kita? Tiga perkara boleh kita perhatikan. Pertama, kita sudah diteboskan dengan darah Yesus Kristus. Kita dibagi tahu dalam ayat ke-9 bahwa kita perlu kita dibasuh bersih dengan air. Kotoran luar boleh dibasuh bersih dengan air. Kotoran dalam mana dapat dibasuh dengan air? Apa yang dimaksudkan ialah kotoran dalam kita sudah dibasuh. Tapi basuh dengan apa? Kita tahu dari ajaran Alkitab. Kita sudah dibasuh bersih oleh darah Yesus Kristus. Darahnya sudah menebus kita. Kita sudah terbebas dari kuasa syaitan dan kuasa dosa. Kita sekarang bebas. Kita menjadi anak Tuhan. Dan dia pun memberikan kita kain, baju yang cantik untuk dipakai. Dia memberi kita sandal, sandal kulit. Menunjukkan kita bukan hamba lagi. Hamba tidak memakai kasut apapun. Tetapi seorang anak memakai kasut, sepatu, sandal. Kita dibagikannya. So it shows that the second thing that happened to us is that of adoption. Now a servant never wears shoes. He served the master barefooted. But a child, a son or a daughter wears shoes, wears sandals. And God gives us these sandals. He has washed us clean and given us new clothes and given us sandals. It shows that we are now in a different status compared to before. We are now the children of God. We have been accepted by Him. Now how did that happen? Look at the end of verse 9. We have been anointed with oil. Anointing with oil in the Bible is a symbol of being given the power of the Holy Spirit. And indeed that is what happened. When you turn from your sin to trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is given to you. And the Spirit in you gives you new desires and new ability to obey God. In the past, you may not have desire to do anything good in God's sight. And even if you have any measure of desire in you that is regarded as good, you discover you have no ability to obey God. But now the Holy Spirit in you gives you holy desires and He gives you the ability to obey God. And that is how it happens. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we are now sealed. We are certainly declared, made clear that we belong to God. Nobody can deny that. It is like that ring that is put on your finger. Everyone see that ring. They say, ah, this is whose son. We are sealed. We are made clear to everyone that we belong to God. We are now living in His house. We are clothed with His beautiful linen. We are shodded with sandals. We are really the children of God now because of the Holy Spirit given to us. Bagaimana itu berlaku? Perkara kedua ialah kita diurapi minyak. Dan dalam Alkitab, diurapi minyak itu ialah gambaran Roh Kudus. Kita diberi Roh Kudus. Dan Roh Kudus yang berada dalam kita memberikan kita keinginan untuk melakukan yang cocok dengan kehendak Tuhan. Dan Roh Kudus juga memberi kita keupayaan untuk melakukan kehendak Tuhan. Jadi keinginan dan keupayaan diberikan kepada kita oleh Roh Kudus. Dan kerana Roh Kudus berada dalam kita, maka kita sudah menjadi anak Tuhan. Tiada seorang yang boleh menyangkal perkara ini. Karena Roh Kudus itu seperti materai sudah menjadi nyata, menjadi perkara ini suatu kenyataan. Tiada seorang pun boleh menafikannya. Tak boleh menyangkal hakikat ini. Kita sekarang kepunyaan Tuhan. Itulah sebabnya kita diberi pakaian yang elok-elok dan kita diberi sandal. Bukan lagi hamba, kita anak Tuhan. Then the third thing is justification. We have redemption, we have adoption. Thirdly, we have justification. Perhaps justification should be put before adoption. But anyway, in practice, it happens at the same time in our experience. Justification is the act of God declaring us no more guilty. Now, we are told that we are clothed with nice clothes. And it is emphasized. We are told in verse 10, and we are told again in the second part, I clothe you with fine linen, I covered you with silk, I adorn you with ornaments, and so on. You see now, when we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, God looks at us differently. Although in ourselves, in essence, in our person, we are not righteous. But because Christ's righteousness is upon us, God treats us as righteous. God therefore declares us as no more guilty. Instead, we are now accepted as His children. You see now, before God can accept us as His children, He has to first deal with our guilt. And our guilt has been dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ. When we turn from our sin to trust in Christ, our sin is regarded as taken away by Christ so that we do not have to bear the punishment of sin. But we don't have righteousness of our own. Christ's righteousness is given to us so that when God looks at us, He sees Christ's righteousness like new clothes upon us. He treats us as no more guilty. He declares us as no more guilty and He takes us home as His children. Okay? Now that is the doctrine of justification. Now for a guilty sinner to hear the judge pronouncing him not guilty, feel it is a great relief. No wonder a lot of people who are under the tension of being tried, when they are declared not guilty, feel the emotion of the moment cause them to shed tears. They just break down. We thought, you should be so happy, you should be jumping about and celebrate. But hardly anyone who has been charged with a serious charge ever do that. They break down crying. The reason is because it has been such a burdensome thing to feel that you are charged with such guilt. And when that guilt is removed from you, when you are declared no more guilty or not guilty, I tell you, your heart is overwhelmed with gratitude. You are so very relieved because that heavy burden has been lifted off you. And that is what happens to a person who turns to Christ. He is not only regarded as no more sinful because his sin is taken away by Christ, but Christ's righteousness is regarded as his so that he is declared as not guilty. Seseorang yang berputar dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus, dia dianggap tidak bersalah. Dia dibenarkan Tuhan. Orang yang bersalah ada beban kesalahannya padanya. Tetapi bila beban itu dibuang dan dia terasa dia sudah tidak dibebankan lagi dan dia pula diisytiharkan tidak bersalah, orang itu sudah tentu terasa lega sekali. Dia terasa bersyukur sekali. Itulah yang terjadi kepada mereka yang bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Dia dibenarkan oleh Tuhan. Pembenaran itu berlaku kerana kebenaran Kristus dianggap kita punya. Jadi tiga perkara itu berlaku. Kita ditebuskan oleh darah Kristus supaya kita terbebas dari kotoran dan cengkaman dosa. Dan kita juga diangkat menjadi anak Tuhan. Roh Kudusnya diberikan kepada kita. Dan ketiga, kita dibenarkan, kita diisytiharkan, diperkabarkan, tidak berdosa. Kerana itu kebenaran Kristus. sudah pun dianggap kita punya. So these three things happen to us when we have become Christians. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ so that we are set free from the power of sin. All our sins have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. All our unrighteousness have been cancelled because of the blood of Christ. Then secondly, we are adopted because the Holy Spirit is given to us and we are treated as children of God. We are given new dress and new sandals to wear. We are no more slaves, but we live freely in the house of our Father in heaven. Then thirdly, we are justified. We are declared no more guilty. Christ's righteousness is regarded as ours. And there is nobody and nothing in the world who can cancel that fact, who can overturn the judgment of God. Whereas in a human court, there's always the danger that the prosecution may appeal and you might have the judgment overturned. But in the case of God, it is sure. It cannot be overturned. If you are declared not guilty, you are not guilty. Nobody can change that fact. The love of God upon you cannot be broken. Certainly, God is with you and He has promised never to leave His people, never to forsake them. Nobody can change that fact. That is what we are when we become Christians. That's why we enjoy so many blessings. God transformed us from within such that once upon a time we were so grumpy and crabby. But when we were converted, we were transformed. We began to learn how to smile. And we began to have joy in our hearts. And we began to become more sober instead of being wasteful, wasting away our energy, dissipating away our life. We become transformed from within. That's why we are like people dressed so very nicely, just like a lady who has developed and now is ready to be wedded. And of course, a father who has a daughter growing up would like to see the daughter happily married after that. You see? Although there will be a tinge of sadness when that time comes because he has to let the daughter go. But you see, the parents naturally would like to see the daughter happily married. And that picture is given to us, that we are adorned in such beauty, and we are given a crown, and everybody can see that we are now royalty. We really belong to the palace, the kingdom of God. We are the children of God. We are so beautifully dressed, so desirable, so attractive. And look at the food we take. They are good food, we are told. See? Now this is, again, speaking spiritually. Of course, we don't get good food all the time when we become Christians. Some Christians continue to be poor, you see. But in many ways, they can say they are rich. And you see there that it is mentioned in verse 13 there, that you ate pastry of fine flour, honey and oil. So you not only have exceeding beauty and you have a new status, but you also have all your needs provided. See, all the good things provided. Seseorang yang sudah menjadi Christian, bukan saja menjadi jelita, sungguh menarik keadaannya. Kerana dia sudah dijelma dari dalam, dia menjadi orang yang baru. Dia menjadi seorang yang sungguh menarik. Dan juga, statusnya pun berubah, kedudukannya berubah. Dia sekarang sudah menjadi anak kepada seorang raja. Dan bukan itu saja, makanannya pun enak-enak, bagus-bagus. Berzat semua. Seperti dikatakan dalam ayat ke 13 itu. Itu tak bermaksud ke semua orang Kristian akan kaya raya belaka dan makan yang enak-enak. Tidak, kita sedang membincang perkara rohani, bukan yang jasmani. Yang dimaksudkan ialah apa-apa keperluan kita, kebutuhan kita itu akan dibekalkan oleh Tuhan kita. Dan itu pengalaman semua Kristian yang menaruh percayaan mereka kepada Tuhan mereka. Segala-gala kebutuhan kita akan dibekalkannya. Kita tak akan mendapat apa-apa yang kita inginkan, tetapi apa yang diperlukan itu akan dibagikan kepada Tuhan Bapa kita. And that is the experience of all Christians in one way or another, big or small. You don't always get what you want.
But all you need will be provided. And certainly if you have eyes to see, and if you are in living relationship with God, you discover that is your life experience as a Christian. That all your needs are provided for. We have a rich Father. On a number of occasions, one or the other of our boys would say to us, would say to me, why don't you continue in your former job? And at the same time, you can preach, you see. Then we don't have to think of this need and that need, you see. And I used to reply to them with a smile, you see. Your Father is very rich. All our needs are provided. If ever your friends ask, tell them your Father is very rich. See? And your Father is rich in the sense that he has God as his Father. And God owns everything in this world. And although we don't get to have everything we desire, but everything we need will be provided by him. It calls for faith. And our faith is often placed under trial. That is true. The Christian life is not smooth going all the way. But the point is that as we place our faith in God, he provides all our needs. And this truth taught in Ezekiel 16 really is experienced by all Christians. Kita benar-benar boleh kata Bapa kita di syurga itu sungguh kaya dan dia akan membekalkan segala kebutuhan kita itu. Okay. Now, what may we say in closing? We have looked at what we were before we were converted. We have looked at what God has done for us. We have looked at what we are now. Okay. Now we must close. Kita sudah pun mempelajari apa keadaan kita sebelum kita diselamatkan. Dan apa sudah Tuhan buat untuk kita. Dan kita sudah pelajari apa keadaan kita sekarang. Kita seharusnya tutup dengan beberapa usul. There are a few things that we need to say. Firstly, this passage is a call to all Christians to be thankful and to be full of praise to God. Nas Alkitab ini sebenarnya memanggil semua orang Kristian supaya bersyukur dan penuh dengan pujian kepada Tuhan. Fikirkan apa keadaan kita sebelum diselamatkan. Fikirkan apa sudah dilakukan oleh Tuhan kepada kita. Fikirkan keadaan kita sekarang sebagai anak Tuhan. Certainly, when we look at what we were before and what God has done for us and what we are now as the children of God, is there not reason to be thankful to God and to be full of praise to God? Really, we must be more thankful than what we have been. We need to praise God more. And this message is a call for all Christians to be more thankful and full of praise to God. Secondly, it is a call to backslidden Christians to return to the Lord. You see how foolish it is to go astray from our Father and from our home. How foolish it is to forgo all the blessing that God has freely given to us. We will end up in misery. We will not gain anything good by going astray. And Ezekiel was told to speak this message to the nation of Israel in the hope that they will return to God. And today's message may be a call for you to return to God so that you may enjoy again his blessing. Ini adalah satu panggilan kepada Kristian yang sudah tergelincir. Kalau sudah tergelincir dalam iman, pulanglah ke pangkuan Bapa di syurga. Karena kalau kita terpesong, kita jauhkan diri dari Tuhan Bapa kita, dari rumah kita, sudah tentu kita terasa sesat dan sengsara. Jadi kita perlu pulang kepada Tuhan kita supaya terus diberkatinya. And finally, this is a call to non-Christians to seek mercy from God. If you have not come to Jesus Christ yet to seek mercy and forgiveness for your sin, now would be the time. We can be certain about our salvation. We can know that we have been transformed. We know that all these promises are to everyone who hear. And today you are hearing this. Let this be a call to you. Boys and girls, Let this be a call from God to you today to turn from your sins, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. His blessing is so abundant. He's so ready to bless you. And His blessing is for all who come. All who come to Jesus Christ will not be turned away. Sesiapa saja yang belum lagi Kristian dipanggil supaya bertobat pada hari ini dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus supaya berkat dan janji Tuhan ini semua boleh menjadi milikmu. Hari ini juga sekiranya kamu bertobat, percaya kepada Yesus Kristus, kesemua berkat dan janji ini menjadi kepunyaanmu. So let us then understand that from nothing we can become everything, all in Jesus Christ.